It is recording. Can you please begin by stating your full name, where you were born, and your date of birth for the record?
Yes, my name is Mac Homer. I was born in Valdosta, Georgia, in the home of my grandparents. That's Beulah Homer and Laura Homer. I was born in their house. And we attended to River Hill Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia.
So what are your earliest memories of River Hill Missionary Baptist Church?
From a child, I remember a lot of things as far as the schooling. We had a two-room schooling house where we had the upper class and we had the lower class students. And we were raised by the people that were in charge of the church, I would say. I was always taught that P. Wilson was the founder of the church, which is a great grandfather, which I didn't know myself. But that's my earliest age, earliest time of knowing. But I do remember my grandmother and grandfather and all of the aunts and uncles in the area. And it was basically an area church. And it was in Valdosta, Georgia. And as far as the street names, and to remember, I wouldn't remember all those names. Only 3 years of going down myself now and being recognized and being taught by family, spending summers there. So that was it. We actually left Valdosta, Georgia in 1959. My age is now 76. And so I was born there and raised there in Valdosta up until the fourth grade. And we also, I don't have to stop there.
Yeah, no problem. Are your earliest memories of River Hill Missionary Baptist Church at the old location or the new one?
No, it was the old location. It was right at the beginning of the road that led into, I guess that would be, I don't know the street name now, but it was at the beginning of going into the Jones settlement.
Okay. Okay. And how old were you in your earliest memory?
My earliest memory, I would say five or 6 years old.
Five, okay. In our previous, pre-interview, we talked about you moving out of Valdosta. Can you talk a little bit about your move and how old you were and your experiences in Connecticut?
Oh, my earliest remember is of Valdosta then was 5 or 6 years old. We actually moved out of Valdosta in 1959, I would say. Is the year that I registered in school in Stamford, Connecticut. There, I attended the fifth grade, from fifth up into high school. So I graduated high school in Stamford, Connecticut. So I do remember attending the two-room classroom early in life. Mrs. Balloon, I remember that teacher specifically. She was like a music teacher, and also I believe she was like the musician at the church of River Hill Baptist Church. But I do remember actually walking to the, which is now I think it's Hunter McCormick Way, or road it is now. And that's where my grandmother and my aunt, my older aunt, my grandmother's sister, Clara McCormick, stayed in the McCormick family. So basically, there was one family there. The McCormicks and the Homers, and the lane now is called McCormick Hunter Lane.
Did you live near the church?
No, that was quite a distance. It felt like 2 miles to me to walk from the church to the to my grandmother's house, where we stayed. And so, and not only me and my siblings, she also raised my cousins who were there, and they were the Homers also. But that was Gus Homer, which is their son, and also we called him Gus Jr., which is their grandson, another grandson. And we also was raised along with the Hunter family, and so that's there too. That's part of my family. Mm-hmm. Which we have a family reunion coming up in the month of July. I think it's the last weekend in July. And so we'll be celebrating there with a family reunion. And this is how I stay in contact with a lot of them. I was also raised by an aunt, a great aunt, which is in the city of Valdosta. And her name was Amy Adams. And so that was a part of my upbringing also. And also have my another great aunt, not a great aunt, but a aunt, which is a mother, a sister to my mother, Maddie Homer. And I remember her and her family. That was the Statham and the Hunter family. And that was older cousins that I lived with and was raised by. And her name was Ailey Hunter. Ailey Statham Hunter.
That is so cool. So I think
the entire area was raised. I was raised by family. And communicated with family.
That is so cool. I think some of the materials we were given actually have Amy Adams. I know for sure in the what was it?
It's just like a program, you know, kind of detailing the offices in the church and things like that.
The offices in the church.
Oh, offices in the church. I do remember some of the earlier offices. And I know Deacon Frank Jones, I think he was like a head or chairman of the deacon of the church. Normally he was, and then I also had my uncles that were involved in it, which came on later. Gus Homer. Before Gus Homer was Peyton Adams, which is my Uncle Peyton. And I was also raised with him and my auntie there, Amy Adams, which came on later. They got me into Magnolia Elm School before I left Valdosta. So I had classes there in the fourth grade, I believe that was. In the fifth grade, I was in Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut. I attended from River Hill Baptist Church School. I went to Magnolia Elm, and I believe that was on Oliver Street. It might have been on the next street over from Oliver Street.
Do you remember anything while you were in the River Hill Missionary Baptist Church, like school?
Yes, I remember the classes and the upperclassmen. And things that I got into and things that happened to me from the upperclassmen and things like that. The class itself, we had the music classes and music, like I said, Mrs. Balaban, Mrs. Balloon was her name. I remember that, her quite vividly. I was like one of her small childs. I remember her. And she called me to not the class pet, no. But I had so many cousins and friends and people there at the school. We were all related. So I had big protectors at the school a lot. So I was real young then. So they made sure that I got there and got home also. All my cousins around.
Did a lot of your cousins go with you to Magnolia Elm?
No, not a lot of them went to Magnolia Elm with me.
So, how did you go from River Hill Missionary Baptist Church School to Magnolia Elm?
Through my aunt, Amy Adams, and Peyton Adams. I was raised and stayed with them at an early age. They also had me before I actually started in River Hill in a daycare center with Mrs. White. I remember that as a child, and that was like really early age, like 3 or 4.
Wow.
So they had me there.
Oh, wow. So what did you do after school?
After school, it was always family work or chores around the house or after school. Mm-hmm. Or things to do. And then as a child, I played a lot too, so. You know, I remember birthday parties and things that they did. But even in school or at church, we would have church programs and Easter programs and recitals to do as a kid, child or kid. We had night school or night programs and rehearsals to do. I remember that being going on. So that was a lot through the church.
Do you have any?
We'd have to walk from there to my grandmother's house or one of my aunts, and so there was always some protective people around you, and you didn't realize it. You thought they were scared, trying to scare you, or someone was coming after you, but you end up being like an uncle or a cousin, an older person walking you back and forth from the church to school at night or in the evening. We had programs going on there, practices and programs. I do remember one uncle, he was a cousin, his name was Tim McCormick, and his kids also, we all walked together back and forth in the church. And so he would be the one, we find out later in life, that he would be the one trying to scare us if we walked up and down the road going to the various homes. And we always had homes passed by as we walk home. And that's where the McCormicks came in at too. And so we had a lot of cousins there, McCormicks and Hunters and Stadiums. So we were all related. And those are actual evening protectors. When you're not working or doing things, and then you had jobs to do when you had different crops to go in, so you would have small jobs to do, working at the back of barn or working to various fields, and so you would talk to do that too.
Were you paid for any of those? Were those like official jobs?
It was a family job with my a lot of them were sharecroppers. My family had their own fields to work in. And so you actually worked along with them.
Are you okay if I ask you to elaborate more on the sharecropping?
On the sharecropping? As much as I can recall or do, I can talk on. You know, like how you would. There was always an older person to teach you how to do things. And if I could remember their names or who they and what way they helped me, so we can go into it. Yeah.
Okay. I honestly don't know.
There was always an educator, you know, my grandmother and I see them as educators. They taught you how to read, how to count crop, how to do things, how to count, or how to produce things too.
Did they stay in sharecropping?
Pardon me?
Did they keep doing sharecropping?
Did they keep doing?
Like, was that their lifestyle?
Especially the older, as you grew up and you became more adept to things or how to do things around. You started out with when you cropped or did things, you would maybe with the women handing things or doing things like that. Or very few planting. Like the older children actually did the planting, the older people. And they taught you how you work along with them as you came along. I always had cousins and aunts and uncles around, or older. I was like one of the younger ones.
Oh, wow.
Even with the fun time, when they went out hunting, very few things they would let you do. And then you stayed back as a child. So I had a lot of older cousins than I had.
Can you tell us more about instances where the church community came together?
There was always a thing that we came, that they did. If it wasn't for kid programs or family gathering and family reunions or family get-togethers, they would always have it. I do remember what I really enjoyed was the cookouts and things that they had. Like they would have the ice and the fruits, or you know, your soft drinks. It was all made up, and it was always a fun time when you got together. They had the different programs going on, and you would have to be a part of it. As these programs went on, they participated. We got a chance to participate in there. Yeah, as kids.
Do you remember any holidays with the church?
No, not specific holidays or specific programs. It was more, I think I enjoyed more like the kid programs where we had to recite and do things like that. I remember more of those, not the official meetings and things like that. We very seldom, we knew that the meetings, the big meetings were going on, but we didn't have a full understanding of what they were. And, you know, like church revivals and things like that, I didn't have a full understanding at the age of 5 and 4. And then you had funerals that went on. I remember my grandfather's funeral, I remember that, and different things, situations like that, programs that they had. And then you had the baptism program, I remember that. And we did that at a river. Actually, knowing where the river was, I don't even know where the river was or how to get to it. But I do remember the water place and how we all dressed for that baptism. When they went on the different baptism. And I remember actually being baptized myself. And to remember the preacher's name at the time, he had changed. There was no grandfather or anyone there. It was just a preacher that actually taught or preached. And we had our Sunday programs like that. We always had those Sunday programs. Now, what Sundays they were, I don't know. Because now I'm finding out it wasn't every Sunday that they had service. And now they have changed completely. I thought it was every Sunday at that age. And I remember traveling. Sometimes I would have to travel from my aunt's house, which is Amy Adams, and we would come by car coming back out there. So I got a chance to actually stay over there at the time. And that was like my fun time, getting away from the country or going into the city. And I remember as a child wanting to go with my Uncle Pete, my Aunt Amy. I really, really enjoyed that and staying with them. So I enjoyed going into the cities sometimes, where a lot of my cousins didn't do that.
We talked previously about your move to Connecticut, and you said that you visited the church on many summers. Can you talk more about your experiences?
Well, my mother, when she migrated to Sisters and Brothers to the north, to New York area, New Jersey. And I believe my uncle, he actually stayed in Spring Valley, New York, and he would actually take us back down there. Visiting that. He was a railroad worker, and he would actually get us on the train to bring us down and stay with my grandmother. And his name was Dennis Hummel. He's now deceased, and he's actually buried in their graveyard. They had their own graveyard with my grandfather, my grandmother, and my other ancestors buried there. That's River Hill Graveyard, which is not far from where the church actually was at one time. and that was on the main highway coming up. It might have been off of Austin. I'm thinking of Street. Austin Street. I don't know. I can't remember that.
It's on James Street now.
Pardon me?
James Street?
No, it's one of the main highways, the main roads now.
Oh, I-75?
The mall there. What is that?
I-75?
No, it wasn't. I-75 was in Fortland when it was built or when it came in. I-75 wasn't there when we left, but it came on afterwards, 75. But it's not off of the 75, but it was off of the main road leading into town where the mall is now. And that was, I was trying to think of the street name.
So you came down on Summers from New Jersey?
From Connecticut. Connecticut or New York.
Gotcha.
My uncle was from New York. He was from Spring Valley, New York. And he would be the one sometime to get us train tickets or whatever. And he would, in fact, and sometimes he would actually take us down. And sometimes my mother would drive us down, mother and cousins. Because we all migrated, other families migrated up with us into Connecticut. We had an older uncle there. And there was two older uncles in that area. One was in Connecticut and one was in New York. Willie Homer was in Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut, where we ended up staying. And Dennis Homer was in Spring Valley, New York. And so we had those that actually traveled with us.
If you don't mind me asking, if a bunch of your family was up north, why did you want to go back to Valdosta to go to the church every summer, or most summers?
We enjoyed being back with family, and, you know, being back with family, and I was raised with all the family. And then we were in a strange place coming up to Connecticut, but it, to have them to actually migrate back up there with us to Connecticut. For instance, Virginia was like a sister to me. She migrated up with us. Then I had an older aunt who took care of me down in Valdosta, and her name is Anna Molly Hunter. It was Hunter later, but it was Anna Molly Homer. And she was like a great sister to me, too. So she was right with me with my grandmother when we were down there as kids. So we had all those. We had more people. My uncle, I had an uncle that stayed down in Valdosta. And his name was Gus Homer. These are all older people that helped to raise me. I think Gus Homer just died in maybe 5 years ago. No, more than that. Over 10 years. It's got to be 10 years now, Gus Homer. And my aunt grandmother, she actually deceased in 1980. If I remember the year.
So, how would you describe the community while you were in Valdosta, and how would you describe the community where you lived in Connecticut?
The Georgia community was always beautiful because of the people over there. And Connecticut was more like getting adapted to it through the years after the age of 9 years old, then it became a home to me. And now I've been here for over 60 years here in Connecticut. So I've adapted to that. And through military time and any other time, high school, from my elementary school to high school, and even to college or military, I've become close to this area. I've adapted up here, became close here. I've got a family here. Apart from my biological family in Georgia, but my biological family has always been there.
Wow.
And the people I loved there.
So why did you move to Connecticut?
Basically, we migrated to Connecticut. The job situation, you know, as a people, we've been doing that, migrating up and getting away from farmland. And then I had so many family members that had migrated up here. Like I said, I had two uncles, and then from the two uncles, then we all came up in the Connecticut area. So my parents, or so my mother, migrated up there. My uncles migrated up here for work purposes. But at that time, I wasn't considering a job or work purpose. I was following family as a child. So you got to remember that I came up here at the age of, like I said, high school, elementary school. So I was 5 years, 9 years old. I didn't turn 10 until fifth grade. And that's when I got here, you know, came here. And moving here, we were in elementary school. And I had younger brothers at the time. There was only three of us at the time. And they were young too. I was like the older one of my family to move up here with my uncle, older child. At 9. But I enjoyed it, the move. I really wanted to be up here with my mom and my uncle. And I really got to enjoy them. Now I had older cousins with them, with my uncles, that were migrated up here. For instance, Willie Homer had a Willie Homer. His name was Willie Frank Homer. He had a son. Dennis Homer had Philip Homer, and his older daughter Margaret and Barbara. And so all those were people we migrated to up here. So that was joining other family members.
Wow.
So I enjoyed both areas. Got to enjoy those family members and get to know them too. And I enjoyed being with them. And so they taught me a lot, those family members. And how to adjust in the area.
What did you do after high school?
After high school, I got drafted into the military. I first went into what we call a community college here. And then I tried to transfer out of a community college to a four-year college. And then I looked at the expense and decided not to put that burden on my mother at the time. And so I decided to go into the military. So that was one of my choices that I made as I grew up. Either do the military, which a lot of my family members did anyway, the military, or college. So I tried college with the community college here in this area. And then I transferred out of the community college and I ended up getting drafted. I dropped out before I actually realized it, but I got drafted into the military. And so I chose to just go ahead with it and not run to Canada anywhere. I chose to serve my country. I didn't want to leave the country. I was offered a chance to leave and go into Canada because of family members up in Detroit area. But I decided to go into the military and do my duty there and stay in the United States. I didn't feel right trying to practice another language or going into another country at the time.
Which branch were you a part of?
The Army. I got drafted into the Army. When I went to the draft board here in Connecticut, when I got drafted, they chose me to go into the Army. So I didn't try to get into Navy or anywhere else at the time. Once they assigned you to the Army, that was it. And so I was assigned to the Army, United States Army.
Did you have to complete like a full contract?
Complete a contract with the military, yes.
How long was that?
Let's see, 72 I came out of the Army after Vietnam. So February of 72, that was done. And so 6 years after that, I believe it was the reserve time. I think so. I finished that class with the reserve after my induction into a local union as an electrician. So I completed those courses there after my time, and that was 67. No, not 67. 68 was when I went into the Army, 69. So 70 I completed, 77. I completed my time as the, in the electrical union. I completed my courses there. I became a journeyman in 77.
A journeyman?
A journey electrician.
Oh.
In 77. Then I retired in 2011. Yeah, I retired.
Well, thank you for your service, and I'm glad that you retired, yeah. You know? You get to relax.
Yeah.
So you're coming back down to Valdosta for the reunion with the church?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Every chance I get. Now, I've missed it for the last 5 years. I've had a son in the meantime, and his college is completed. And so now he's got a family that gave me a gift of a granddaughter. So, first granddaughter for me, that's 76.
Nice.
So I got married at 38, and 40 he was born. 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And now I got my little princess.
Congrats. Congrats.
She's only two. She'll be two.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I love the twos. They're not the terrible twos. They aren't.
Yeah.
They can be so cute.
No, she's sweet. She'll be two. She got 3 months, 2 months. Well, she's two. And looking forward. I'm not going to say that now. Leave him alone. Let him relax. Let him and his wife enjoy themselves. Yeah. So they're determined they want to go down this year, so. And so they're paying for it, taking us down. They're not, they're getting used to it, the family there. So she's a newlywed too, he's a newlywed. So they just finished college, so.
Wow. So you've also raised your family in the church?
In my church, yes. Yes. And leave it up to themselves. You know, they've got to find their relationship with God themselves. And so I leave it up to them or be a leader or an advisor. But it's up to them to decide. So they've decided to raise them up in the church.
Do you have a deep affiliation with Missionary Baptist churches?
Yes, affiliation with them, yes. Even the church that I'm in now. So, yes, with Faith Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church of Stanford. was the Pastor Joseph Ford, who's now pastor, the young pastor. So we've been through a series of pastors through the years that I've been in the church. And that my family attend here before I came out of the Army. I actually joined after coming out of the Army church. But we've always been members of a church or affiliated with a church. We started with River Hill Baptist Church, and now we're Faith Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. And before that, we were with my aunt, who was Willie Homer's wife at the time, Sarah Homer. And we stayed with them when we first came to Stamford, Connecticut.
Can you explain to us what a Missionary Baptist Church is and how it's different from other denominations?
How it's different? I think we're all autonomous, even the Baptist churches. Southern Baptists, we all believe in Jesus Christ, but we have a covenant with the church itself, and how we would minister to the church, the people of the church, and also go out and minister to people at large. You know, and the reason of missionary is because we not only serve the people that within your community, but you're outside of the community, serving people or helping people in some way. And you have a form of helping other people, not just financially, but actually doing service within their community or their area or their part of the world, you know, by going out and visiting or contributing to the well-being of the people themselves. Not only spiritually, but we are actually give a helping hand or give a reason. Not just a reason, but a ministry to help them make their lives better or get their relationship with God, build their own relationship with God.
Wow.
And so that's basically what our church did down there. The same thing, you know, building your relationship with God and your own soul salvation. And so that was the Missionary Baptist Church. And that was something they took on missionary afterwards. And that was after I became an adult and coming to realize that or hearing, seeing it done.
Wow. Did you have a strong faith throughout the Vietnam War?
As a young man, no, not always. But it was something that was instilled in me through my family. And actually my mother and things, and grandmother, grandfather, and people like that. As a young man, you're rebellious of a lot of things. You know, not only did I go out and do things that wasn't according to the church, but I've learned to want to do it more since I've come of age, you know, to fall back on my spiritual life or my teaching, to fall back on it as I become older and have kids or work with kids myself or work with other people. I guess you had to learn after you failed, the fall had to come for you to do it. Because Vietnam was a lesson in itself when I was there. Did I tell you I was in Vietnam?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Okay, so my service, my time in Vietnam. And so the training, even with the military, basic training, I guess the way of protection and the way of battle and working in a war zone area.
Wow.
That was military training.
seem to have a lot of inspiring stories.
Pardon me?
You seem to have a lot of, you have a lot of interesting and inspiring stories.
Yeah. Well, through the 76 years, I'm thankful I made it, so that was it. That's it. A lot of my friends and people in the military didn't make it. In fact, we weren't welcome home so much from Vietnam as other warriors and other people. The Cali family, you know, and things that went through there. And so, sad times that we had to go through it. But we've made it. I've made it. But I've lost a lot of comrades and brothers along the way. And it still bothers me today, still some.
Yeah. Did you like moving into the reserves after active duty?
Yes, well, that's where I got my training as an electrician, you know, and a life afterwards and a career. Did I like doing it only from the fellowship of people that I've lost even there with that? Mm. Yeah. We had reserve time, and I'm still losing brothers and sisters, even in this stage of my life. There's a list of them. You know, like we get our mail from the Union, when we see the number of guys that we lose. We lost 17 guys in 9/11. And so I think about all of those 9/11 guys that we lost there. This wasn't the greatest trade in the world either. You're dealing with elements, dealing with things, and we're still losing guys even with this. So. If it wasn't cancer or something that's taking my brothers and sisters out doing things, then we have people coming from the third world countries and bombing. So you still have to go through that.
Yes, sir. So with all this adversity that you've faced, what are some hopes for the future of your family, church, and country?
What about my family future?
Yes, sir.
That we could actually be able to enjoy life to the fullest, but also protect your own family and raise your family. Be able to raise your family and protect them. That's the greatest thing about this country, when you can provide for your family and you can have a family. Someone that loves you. When the baby rubs you on the head, and you're losing your hair and things like that. I would like to see us as a people to be able to support each other and to love each other, basically. That's it. Love and want the best for you and your family.
So I think I'm going to ask...
Respect you as a human being and as a person.
Yes, sir. How has the church been a home to you? Whether that be River Hill Missionary Baptist Church or the church that you've found that you're in now, how has it been a home to you?
They've always shown interest and raised you up and do the best, raise you up to be the best that you can. And supporting supporting but also respecting each other. And they've also been that way to help other people to be able to live their lives healthy and prosperous and be able to care for themselves and care for their family and live healthy and respectful lives. But also help your fellow man in any way you can.
Yes, sir. If it's okay with you, can I ask two more questions before we wrap up the interview?
Okay, listen.
If there was one piece of advice that you can give the new generation, what would it be?
The new generation?
Yes, sir.
To respect your fellow man, respect yourself, and have respect for your country. And raise your family to the best of your ability and provide for them. And spread love as much as you can, everywhere you can.
Yes, sir. Amen. And what do you hope will come from the River Hill Missionary Baptist Church Preservation Project?
I hope that it's able to survive. And this is a problem with a lot of our churches all over the world. And they're not able to survive and you're not able to continue the work of raising up a family and improving the country. But always ready for reconciliation, ready to help or to forgive, and to be able to live a life of peace.
Peace. Yes, sir. Well, thank you for answering all those questions. Wow. I just want to say, feeling inspired at the moment. you have a lot of love in your heart. So thank you so much for participating in this project. It means a lot to River Hill Missionary, and it means a lot to VSU because we're proud to preserve the history of this church.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, the interview, I don't know how well it went.
Oh, it went great.
But I would like to hear it myself. But it can help me with this. All right. Well, thank you very much. But I did left out a lot, like a lot of the military service of people in the family. I've lost so many cousins in the military. Especially Philip Homer, I lost Hunter, Williams. Oh, there's so many cousins I've lost. So I didn't go over any of those names.
Would you like to talk about those names now?
No, I think I'll leave it out other than just call their names.
Okay.
Leonard Williams, Philip Homer. Cal Hunter. I'd like to have those names there. Those are the people that I've lost in the military. Mac Homer. I was named after my Uncle Mac. Mac Homer. And so that's where I get my name from, Mac Homer. And there's other uncles through the years. But they were all military people that we lost as a family.
Yes, sir.
Did I get them all? I think Philip Homer, Leonard Williams, Cal Hunter. Who am I missing? Oh, Mac Homer. Who is the oldest uncle that we know of that we lost? Mac Homer. And that's who I was named after. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much. I don't want to wrap that up with that. Thank you.
No, thank you. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too.
Okay, yes, I did. All right, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
Likewise.